For those of you, I see a lot of visitors here today, and so we are just, thank you for being here. Welcome to our church, and we hope you come back and visit us again. Today we're going to do things a little bit different. We talked kind of as a student ministry team about what kind of a service we wanted to do today for Brooke and for Allie, and we'll do things a little bit different, not your traditional message up here. Some of our leaders in our student ministry team want to share some thoughts about baptism and about Brooke and about Allie and their decision today. So we're thankful that you're here. Today's a big day for us. And so we want to just share a video with you.
And what we're about to witness is such a major celebration of new life and everything and centers around who Jesus is. Earlier this week, I was able to cheer and celebrate with Brooke at her volleyball game. And I kind of closed my eyes for half the game because I was a little nervous for her. I just didn't want to tell her mom that because I know that she was nervous for her too. And so I just kept praying for her that nothing was going to happen. But I was able to celebrate that part of her life with her this week, and it was so exciting. And with Allie, I've been able to celebrate many things with her. Known her since she was a baby. She's my niece. And this week, her dad was deployed to the border. He's in the Texas National Guard. And so she, when we found out that he was going to be deployed and he was not going to be able to be here today, we asked her if she wanted to change the date, if she wanted to do something different, or we could do it during the week, you know. She didn't have to wait till today. And she was still determined to be baptized today with you all as her witnesses and with her family that is here too. And so we are thankful for that. Both of these girls, we've been celebrating with them for a long time. They decided this to take this journey about 2 years ago. And they both talked to us separately, talked to us about wanting to receive Jesus Christ in their hearts as their Lord and Savior. And we went along with that step-by-step journey with them and kind of just waited to see what was going to happen. But both of them have been so determined for this day and to make this day happen. And so it's a celebration of life. We tell kids all of the time that this is the most important decision that they will ever make, is to follow after Jesus with their whole heart and their whole being. They're going to make a lot of important decisions in life: marriage, school, work, having children or not. But this is a decision that's life and death. And we believe that wholeheartedly, that they are choosing life today and that we get to celebrate with them. Along with that celebration is the story of being rescued. And we all love a great rescue story. When it's on the news, we pay close attention to what's going on. There was even a viral video that went around, and I can't remember if it was a dog that saved a little boy from being attacked by a cat or a cat attacking a dog from getting to a little boy. I remember. Do y'all remember what it was? Was it a cat? A cat saved a little boy, right? But everyone was talking about it. It was a story of rescue. Recently, maybe about a year ago, there was a really bad fire in Houston, and that one man, I was watching on the news when that man was hanging on to dear life, and the firefighter climbed that ladder to save him, and we talked about that for weeks. That was a story of rescue. And then with this week being 9/11, watching the History Channel and kind of remember where we were at in that time of history and listening to all of the different rescue stories of people who gave their lives selflessly to go and rescue someone. I saw a very personal story of a man who saved a man from a hotel, and he had invited him to his daughter's wedding because he said, if it wasn't for this firefighter that had saved me on that day, I would not have been able to walk my daughter down the aisle. And so he was thanking him for saving his life. We're surrounded by stories of rescue. And that is what we're going to witness today, this journey that the girls are on already. The story of rescue has been happening since the beginning of time. God has moved and orchestrated things in the world that have brought us all to that place of who Jesus is and recognizing us. And for some of us, the story of rescue, we talk about it in front of a lot of people. And we're able to share that. For some of us, our story of rescue is over a cup of coffee or tea. We share our story of rescue when we are undergoing or going through some personal hard matters in life. Tragedies, illnesses, life just happening. And we are able to share that story of rescue with others by the way that we stand firm in the joy that we find in who Jesus Christ is. That we remember the salvation, that we are rescued, and we remember Him even through all of life's trials and journeys. So I'm really thankful just to be a part and be a witness. And all summer long, we've been traveling a lot because we've been a witness to many baptisms this summer of a lot of young people who've committed their lives to Jesus and have taken that next step. And we are just amazed. And so what we're talking about is just, it just amazes us. It's one of the things that we love about youth ministry is that part that we are reminded of just abandoning everything and running to Jesus. And for some of us, we have had really hard lives. We've had a lot of hard struggles our entire life. And when somebody talks to us about the rescue of who Jesus is and why He came and died on a cross for us, we run to it with open arms. And then there's some of us who haven't had a hard life. We've had great parents and a great upbringing and a great home. But we still recognize our need for a Savior. We still recognize what Jesus did for us on the cross. And we run to it with our arms wide open. Because that is what we are all a part of, a big, huge part of story of being rescued. Because that is what God has put in motion for all of us through Jesus Christ and that sacrifice.
We thought, what better example, what better message could there be than a living, breathing testimony of accepting God and accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior? And so, you know, this coming up to today, as Rose mentioned, we had the opportunity to attend a lot of different baptisms. And one in particular that I was really thinking about today and thinking about Brooke and about Allie and I kind of removed myself from the crowd, and I just wanted to focus in on the act of baptism and what does that mean. And I started looking at, and we all know that it's symbolic of dying to our old self and sin and being raised a new creation. And there's something about witnessing it. I mean, even just sitting in the pews and not being here just to see somebody being completely submerged in water and raising up a new creation. It's something that really cannot be described. And as I got to sit there and think about it over the past couple of weeks, it really is just amazing. And I thought to myself, isn't this what life is about? Isn't this what life is about? It's about coming to a place in your life where you recognize your own brokenness, that you cannot fix yourself no matter how hard we try, no matter how many things we buy, no matter how many things we do. That it's recognizing that brokenness and understanding the need for grace, for mercy, and for salvation, and accepting Christ into your life, being baptized, and then living a life in obedience to that. That's what life is about. And so I'm extremely excited about today, for obvious reasons, but to me, baptism serves a number of purposes for me. It's not only because Christ setting that example for us in filling the great commission that He gave us in Matthew, where He said, go and make disciples and baptize. But for me, it serves two purposes. One is new life, being a new creation, about putting to death your old self and having that reckless abandonment to just say, you know what, I'm accepting Christ, I'm trusting in Him, I have faith in Him, and I'm pouring everything I have into Him. And that new life, what it represents, that's always exciting. And watching new life being created and being a part of seeing students or individuals, you don't have to be a student, but anybody who hasn't accepted Christ, seeing them come to that decision and taking part in that and being baptized into the body of Christ, that's always exciting for me. And then the second thing is that it serves for us as a reminder. A reminder, as Rose mentioned and said, about how for those of us who have done it before, for those of us who have that commitment, for those of us who are called by His name, this is a reminder for all of us, not just to take part in witness and be part of the baptism of Allie and of Brooke. But for those of us who have already made that decision, remember what it was like when you made it? Not just the actual baptism, but those moments when you felt helpless, when you needed rescue. So as we take part in today, maybe for you, this is your moment to reconnect with God. Maybe this is your time to just have that quiet conversation with Him. And remember. So as we get ready and as the worship team is preparing for baptism, for those of you who have made that decision before, again, remember what it was like. Remember that passion that you had. There's power in remembering, right? That's why God gave us, that's what we do, the Lord's Supper. He says, do this as in remembrance of me, because it takes us back to that time. It takes us back to that commitment that we've made. And if you're here and you've never made that commitment, maybe today's the day. So as Josh and Brooke come up and get ready, take some time today to reconnect. Take some time today to reflect. Don't forget about what's being done here, the baptism, and the magnificent moment that it is of seeing new life created. And for those of you who are still on that fence, don't ignore God's calling, God's whisper on your heart. He desires to have a relationship with you.
Spirit leads
Take me deeper than my feet could ever walk. And my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever walk. And my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior, and I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans arise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I have you. You are mine.
As a youth worker team, this is always a really exciting moment for us. We get to see the students that we spend a lot of time and love praying over and planning events for. We get to see them come to Christ, and it just kind of makes the gray hair and the sleepless nights worth it, because this is the goal, this is the accomplishment, is to see students and God's children come back to Him. And it's always really exciting when a couple of our own local ones make that choice. And we've got to spend some time with Brooke and Allie before church this morning, talking about baptism and asking them what it meant to them. And we loved how their responses were so personal. And that's the goal of this. That's the goal of salvation and baptism, is to take a God that was so unattainable, so separated from us because of sin, and make Him personally our Father. And it was beautiful to hear their response, because that's what baptism meant to them. It meant a very personal moment, a very intimate moment between them and God. So we're really excited for this. And this water isn't as warm as it started off, so we're going to move along. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, we are so thankful for a great number of things, Lord, but specifically today, Lord, we are thankful for Brooke and Allie, who have answered your call, who have felt your knocking on the door, who have felt your encounter, Lord, and in a moment of sheer desperation reached up to you for salvation. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your grace and your goodness that you've given them, and we thank you that you've changed their heart to accept it, Lord. We thank you for the many great things you're going to do with their lives and for what this means for their futures, Father. And as a church family, Lord, we ask that you burden us with the spirit of accountability, Lord, to be there for them, that they can depend and count on us, Lord, as their church family. God, we are so thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. And Brooke, because of your confession of Christ as your Savior, in the name of God, the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you into the family of God.
Waited a long time for this. As Josh mentioned, we had a conversation with Allie and Brooke, and it's always wonderful to see just their desire and passion just to have a heart for Christ, and just excited about what the future holds for them.
and how today is just the first beginning chapter of their story of rescue that we talked about earlier. So, let's begin this book. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, and thank you for Allie and for Brooke and for their decision and accepting that tugging on their heart. God, I just pray that you would continue to be with them, that you would strengthen their walk with you, that you would help them to draw closer to you. Help them to recognize that identity that they have in you, and that they wouldn't seek that acceptance anywhere else. God, we love you, and our desire and Allie's desire is just to have a closer relationship with you and to draw into that intimate moment where you and her are alone and it's just you. And you can help her, you can comfort her, you can strengthen her. Help her to be a witness to those in her school and those she interacts with on a daily basis, Heavenly Father. Help them to see something different in her. And help her to always be an example of your love and grace and mercy.
We're going to bring Brooke and Allie up here in just a minute so we can have some time to pray with them. They're getting dried off and cleaned up. I think one of my favorite verses about what just happened here today is in Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but received a spirit of adoption as sons by which you cry out, Abba, Father." And this feeling of belonging, this feeling of adoption, in youth ministry, we come in contact with a lot of students that some have troubled lives, some came from healthy homes, but a lot of them are seeking to belong. That's kind of the general theme that we find with a lot of teenagers. There's a sense of a need for belonging to something, to a group, to a team, to a clique of friends. There's a need to belong. And we always try to teach them that this need to belong, if it's sought out, if you're seeking to fulfill this need for belonging in areas away from Christ, odds are there will be some disappointment. Yes, we'll find good friends, but even your best friends can let you down. Your husbands and wives can let you down. I know I probably annoy Erica more than she wishes, but that's because we're two sinful people living in a home together trying to make it work, and only by the grace of God can we. And so this need for belonging, this need for adoption to a group can only be found and truly fulfilled when we find this belonging in Christ. Because it brings you into a family that never breaks, that never falls apart, because it's held together by the most powerful being in the universe. And that's what happened with Brooke and Allie today. They became adopted. They became part of this family. They belong now to this family. And with that belonging comes a sense of purpose. I think that's probably the second most thing that sought after in most teenagers is this need to be needed for something, to have a role to play, to have a purpose to play. Nobody really wants to be the bench warmer. We all want to contribute somehow, whether some of us do contribute more behind the scenes, but there's a sense of a need to be part of the team, to play an active role. And I think that when we find Christ, that when we accept Christ and we become part of God's family, our purpose is immediately assigned to us. Now, it looks different for each individual person because there's different talents, different skill sets, different gifts that God gives you, but overall, the purpose remains the same. And my favorite verse for outlining this purpose is in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 9 through 11 says, For the sake of my name, this is God, I delay my wrath, and for my praise I restrain it for you in order not to cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver, and I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, for my own sake, I will act. For how can my name be profaned, and my glory I will not give to another? I've spoken here at church before, and I remember telling you guys that God can only be about God. He can only be about His own glory, and some of us kind of take offense to that sometimes, thinking that's a little bit arrogant of God to only be about Himself. But the truth is, if God were humble, if God humiliated Himself to a point where He said, you know, I'll give this glory to something else, don't make it about me, well then God would no longer be the most powerful being in the universe, but there would be something above Him. But because we have the confidence that we have and need that confidence that we're serving a God that is the most powerful God in the universe, the top dog, he can only be about his own glory. And so because God is only about his own glory, because God is only about his own glorification, that immediately makes our purpose in life to also be about God's glory. So this purpose that Ali and Brooke have accepted today now is to live a life that brings glory to God. Now again, that looks different for every individual depending on their skill set. Some people are really heavily involved in charity work. That brings God glory. Some people bring God glory by simply focusing on their own marriages. There's ways to give God glory in marriage. Basketball teams, baseball teams, sports, extracurricular activities. There's so many different ways that we can bring God glory. So it looks different for every individual, but we talked with Brooke and Allie, and I told them, if you can use the gauge this way, when you have to make a decision in your life, when you have to decide, should I or shouldn't I do something, the gauge, the filter is, can God be glorified in this? And if there's no way for God to be glorified, then it's probably outside that purpose that God called you. And so Brooke and Allie will come up. We have sort of developed an unofficial tradition at our youth events that when students make a commitment to Christ, I wanted y'all to stand in front of me. This is awkward. When students make a commitment to Christ, we want to encourage them first by parading them in front of everybody. Now, that's not to embarrass them or to put them on the spot. But one, we want the students who may not have seen them come up forward during a worship service to put a face with the names that have now become part of God's family. And so we do that for them. But the next thing that we do is we not only expect their commitment, we ask a commitment from the church. And my Uncle Mickey kind of, I bit this off him because whenever he performs weddings, he always does this. So he'll do the vows from the husband to the wife. Then he'll do a vow from the crowd to them to hold them accountable as a married couple. Well, we want to do the same thing here. And so we've developed this tradition at youth events where we ask the crowd to commit to them. And so because Brooke and Allie now have accepted this purpose of bringing God glory, it's up to us as their church family to help encourage them to see that they fulfill it. We have a responsibility. It's not an option. It's nothing that God says if you have the time to do it. No, God demands gospel-centered community. And that's us encouraging our fellow believers when they need us. And so, I want you to say we will whenever I ask you a set of questions. And I'll ask you the same questions I ask our youth because they're funny sometimes. Will you send them a text message at 3 or 4 in the morning if you think of a Bible verse that they need to read or hear? Will you give them a phone call if you feel God's put something on your heart that maybe they need some encouragement? Will you be available, readily available, if they call you and need help, need guidance, need some advice? And more than anything, will you commit to constantly praying for them and other believers that need our encouragement and prayer? With that, we have a commitment not only from Allie and Brooke, but from you guys to them, and we're thankful for that. I also want to embrace another tradition we kind of keep, and I'd like our elders, if they would, to come forward. They're the ones that we learn from and encourage us and teach us as a younger ministry team to keep pushing forward, and they keep us strong. And so we'd like them to take their role and pray for Brooke and Allie in this new commitment, new part of their lives.
Okay, before we call upon the church to unite our hearts together for Brooke and Allie in the road that's ahead of you, because you know you have a whole road now to travel, and you're going to need God's Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus, and we're going to do that. But before we do that, we've been connecting kind of back to baptism, our own baptism throughout this service, and thinking about baptism. And I have another young lady that I want to reconnect with her baptism, because due to circumstances, some months have passed by, and just a number of circumstances that has not allowed me to present Andrea Gonzalez with her baptismal certificate and her church membership. And we're glad to have the Gonzalez's with us today. And Andrea, would you come up? And we're just going to be delighted to add you into here and to present you with your baptismal certificate and your church membership. And I just want to read what this says on here. Hold this while I get my glasses. Don't ever grow old. It says this. Andrea Lauren Gonzalez is hereby recognized as a member of the Church of God Seventh Day, having been baptized by immersion. We're taking you back to remember that, and having pledged to uphold and support the church by living a consecrated and life and being faithful, a faithful branch. And so, Andrew, we present this to you. It's late in coming, but you know the circumstances that have kept us from doing that. And I'd just like to have a brief prayer with you, too. Okay? Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this beautiful lady, for her decision, the commitment that she made some time back to be able to have the Gonzalez's with us today as part of our worship, and to be able to present Andrea with her baptismal certificate is very special. And we praise you for her. May you direct her life in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to lay our hands on these two girls, and we're going to ask the church to join us, unite our hearts. Not only are we celebrating today, but we're thinking about the road that is ahead, aren't we? And how important it is that they have our examples, the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, to keep their focus until they can reach the goal of God's eternal kingdom. That's what we want for you two girls. This is a start. And we're going to ask for God's special direction and Holy Spirit in your lives as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, it's good today to celebrate not only life, but the journey to eternal life. And for these two special and beautiful young ladies, they've made their decision now, their commitment to follow you, to go down today into the watery grave of baptism and come up in the likeness of your death and burial and resurrection. Father, we recognize as we celebrate and praise you that the journey won't be easy. These two young girls are going to need our example. They're going to need our support. They're going to need, but even above that, the presence of your Holy Spirit to be able to walk with you and to serve you all the days of their life. Father, we want this to be a lifelong journey until Jesus comes, or until they should lay down their life to be at peace with you at an old age. Bless them with your Holy Spirit's presence in an awesome and a real and a powerful way to guide them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, girls. We love you, and God bless.